Matchroom Radio, episode 78. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada. We have a big fight this weekend. We're at the Fountain Blue. It's the inaugural fight here at this casino. It's a beautiful property. And today we have an incredible guest with us. We have the newly minted WBA featherweight champion of the world, the Savage Raymond Ford, my brother. What's up?
What's up, man?
It's great to see you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's such a pleasure to see you. You look great, man. How you feeling?
I feel great. I feel like a champ.
You are a champ. You are a champ. It's crazy. I mean, it's been years now that we've been together. I've been watching your journey.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, such an exciting fight also, not just to win the championship, but in that manner, dramatic fashion. A lot of people calling it the fight of the year. It's definitely a contender for fight of the year. Yeah. How does that feel?
It feels great. I never expected to be in a fight of the year type of fight. I expected to dominate every last one of my fights, but yeah, it felt great to, you know, finally, you know, start to get the recognition that I feel like I've been working so hard for.
Well, for sure. And what's crazy is, like, so again, I've been announcing your fights for years. So I've seen the transit, and you've always been talented.
Yeah.
Okay. But there was a couple fights where it was just kind of seemed to just level off. It was less than impressive. You always win, but it was less than impressive.
Yeah.
But then something happened, man, and it just switched. You just changed gears.
Yeah.
And you haven't looked back. What happened, man?
You know, I was just finding myself, you know, early on in my career. And I feel like I finally found myself. I found what I needed to do to, you know, be at the best me. And I feel like now I'm just only going to get better, and it ain't stopping me.
I mean, you train with a lot of top guys. And you're in Cherry Hill, right? You train in Cherry Hill?
Yeah, that's my gym in Cherry Hill.
With Reggie.
Yeah.
And who else are you training with?
Coach Anthony Rodriguez. And then when I go to Houston, I'm there with Teray Stevenson.
Teray also. And but you spent time training with Shakur, right?
Yeah.
How did that help? Another Jersey guy.
Yeah.
How did that help you, or has it helped you kind of grow, seeing what he's done? He's obviously very accomplished. He's very, very talented fighter.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, like you said, he's, you know, at the top level, very accomplished. You can only learn and get better from being around people like that. So, you know, being around him, it elevates my game. It allows me to, you know, perform at different levels. And, you know, it's not even, you know, more so about me sparring him all the time, because I've been sparring Shakur since I was an amateur. So it's more like just the advice that he would be giving me. And I just take it and I use it for myself.
What can you elaborate on that? What kind of advice would Shakur give you?
You know, basically, he just, you know, tell me to stay being myself. Sometimes he, you know, tell me, sometimes I got to box more, or sometimes he tell me I need to, you know, step in the pocket more. And he give me, like, tips on, like, how to make weight and what I need to eat, you know, leading up to my fights.
Sure.
And things like that. So it's a lot of things outside of the ring. More so than what it is inside the ring.
I love what you just said. It's really great because, again, like, you know, boxing, there's so many different levels to the sport.
Yeah.
And even when you turn pro, like, most guys are, as far as fight, they're really good.
Yeah.
But then you get to 4 rounders, to 6 rounders, to 8 rounders, to 10 rounders, then to now to 12 round world champions is another level.
Yeah.
To me, one of the things that really makes the big difference is being able to make adjustments. And to me, that's what you did in the Kolmatov fight.
Yeah.
You were able to make an adjustment. Like, you weren't going in there looking for a knockout, mm-hmm. but you saw something and you made it. And you, like you said, you stayed in the pocket.
Yeah.
And I saw it, and you used your strength.
Yeah.
And you were able to stop him. You were down on 2 out of 3 cards.
Yeah, it was.
That's crazy. Did you know that? Did you have a feeling? What did you think? Did you think I need a knockout, or?
No, I didn't know I was down on the cards. I just knew it was a close fight and that we was fighting on under his platform and his promotion. So
you could make an assumption.
Yeah. So I had to, you know, take that into consideration, you know, going into the final championship rounds. And basically, I didn't know I needed a knockout, but, you know, I pushed myself to get the knockout. So, yeah.
So Kolmatov went down before the knockdown.
Yeah.
And Charlie Fitch didn't call it a knockdown. Do you think that helped you in a way?
It did. I think it did. It gave me extra time to, you know, do what I had to do.
Well, it gave him less time. He didn't have the time to recover.
Exactly. So I think they was kind of like trying to, you know, help him out in a way, but it backfired on him.
It backfired.
Yeah.
And now you hold the title.
Definitely.
8 knockouts, and that last one was spectacular, brother. That's spectacular, man. Wow. Yo, your mom, how's your mom must be over the moon.
Nah, yeah, she was going crazy. She was crying.
Oh,
everybody was crying, but I feel like
you about to make me cry, man. I'm so happy for you, bro.
Yeah, my mom, you know, like I said, she been through it all with me. She seen me, you know, from a kid, obviously, because she's my mother. But, you know, she seen me, like, grow from being an immature kid, fighting a lot, getting suspended and expelled from schools and, you know, going to juvenile detention centers and things like that. She seen me, you know, come from that to becoming to what I am now. So she's just extremely proud of me.
She must be so proud. She loves you so much, bro. Yeah. I mean, obviously moms, but we spent time together. What was it, Nottingham?
Yeah.
Years ago.
That was my first time in the UK.
It was, I remember it.
First time out the country.
And I took you out. We went out for like food and stuff.
Walk. Yeah.
And we ate some crazy stuff and you were like, what the hell is this? But but you enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, it was a great experience. I got that story on my highlights on my page. So
do you really?
Yeah, I do.
So I had a great time with you and that was so great. And your mom too, spending time with her, she was lovely. And I'm just so proud of you and happy for her too, because I know she's over the moon.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that just for a second, because you're talking about how you used to fight when you was a kid.
Yeah.
You went to juvie. A lot of people don't know that background of you, and that's how you actually got introduced to the gym. Can you talk about that a little bit? What was going on back then?
I can't even really remember what was going on or why I was, you know, fighting so much and had so much anger. It was just something that it was like an everyday thing for me. I get suspended from school. I do like a 10-day suspension because like at a certain amount of time, like you probably get like a 3-day suspension. And then like when you keep getting suspended, it did start upping it.
Hmm.
So like it was to the point where it was like 10-day suspensions. And I'll come back to school, fight the same day that I got back and get suspended again. So then it was like, we got to start expelling this kid. So they expelled me, and then I went to alternative schools and things like that. And that was going on from like a very young kid. I want to say like probably the first grade on up. And then I got a little better once I got into boxing. And then once I got my first year in high school, that's when I started to get into like serious trouble. Because now you're at a different age, you can get in trouble and it's going to be worse results and things like that. So, but once I, you know, went through that whole little stage of me going to juvie, I came home, I got back into boxing, started locking in, and basically just changed everything how I did things.
So you were getting into fights in the street, you're getting in trouble in school, so your mom takes you to the gym. What was it like when you first went in there? Was it like a fish to water? Did you like it at first? Did you not like it? Because boxing, you know, is a lot of it's a very misunderstood sport in a lot of ways, especially to people on the outside. They think it's just renegade and people in there fighting, but it's really about respect and discipline, and there's a lot of that. So was that hard? Tell me about it.
So the way I got introduced into boxing, it actually wasn't from my mother. It was from a kid on my block who used to live on my block. His name was Adrian. He was a little older than me. I want to say he was about 14, 15 when I was 9. And he was a boxer. So one day he seen me fighting on the street, and basically he just took me under his wing. He had a punching bag in his basement.
Okay.
He used to bring me to his house. I was his punching bag. He would hold the mitts for me. He showed me how to get into my proper stance, and I would go on runs with him and things like that. Actually, his whole family know who I am still to this day. They be reaching out to me and things like that. So that's how I got started into boxing. And then I was asking my mom to actually take me to a gym so I could, you know, start competing and things like that.
So you wanted it?
Yeah. So.
Oh, cool.
So she didn't. She never wanted me to box at first. It took like a year or a year and a half or something like that for her to take me to an actual gym. And once I got into the gym, it was just like, I remember it was like one of the hardest workouts I ever did. Like, he had me just punching with the same hand nonstop. My arm was getting tired. But the good thing about it was I already knew my stance, because like I said, I was, you know, working out with the kid. So basically like the fundamental things and stuff, I already had that down. So it was kind of easy. I think I had like, it took me 6 months to have my first amateur fight. So it was a great experience. I think that was the best decision my mom could have made for me at that time. And you see the end result.
How old were you when you had that first fight? Do you remember?
I want to say 11.
11. Yeah. And it took 6 months before you even were able to get into the ring, before you had that fight.
Yeah.
And were you a good amateur?
Yeah, I was.
Were you good off the bat, or it took a little time?
I want to say it took a little time, but if you look at it, it really didn't take that much time. I think I started to, like, I was fighting. I fought somebody with, like, 50-something fights in my third fight. So I've been fighting experienced guys from the very start. So, but I don't feel like it was, it started off good. I didn't think I started to get good until I was about 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's one thing about you also a lot of people don't know, like, you a dog, bro.
Yeah.
You a dog. You'll fight anybody, anywhere. You will. That's who you are.
Yeah.
I know that. A lot of people, you know, I don't know how much. This, hopefully people get to know you through things like this. Now you're world champ and you're on a podcast and you're doing bigger things. But, you know, coming up in Camden, a lot of people from the UK, you know, big audience from there, but they might not know about Camden.
Yeah.
It's a rough town.
Yeah.
It's a real rough town. It's right outside of Philly. Can you tell us what it was like growing up there and tell us about Camden a bit?
Camden is the poorest city in America from the last time I seen. But it was just like every day is like a new experience out there. It's just you want to see something crazy going on. You see crackheads and stuff like that on a regular everyday basis. You see fights, you hear shootings, like you sleeping at night, you hear gunshots, like things like that. It seemed regular growing up in Canada, but once I started to like travel the world and things like that for boxing, and I'm like, nah, that wasn't regular, like it wasn't, that's not the norm, you feel me? So it's
I
like,
do.
Camden, it's a city that made me, so I'm proud to be from there because I wouldn't be who I am today if I never was raised there, so yeah, that's all I could really say about it, for real, for real.
Yeah, it's a tough place, man. Yeah. It's a great place.
It is.
Some good food there, too.
Yeah, it is.
Some good
it
food
is.
To care. You a foodie.
I am.
You a foodie.
I post a lot of my food from there, too.
Yeah, yeah. What do you like to eat? What do you like to eat?
Right now, my favorite spot in Camden is Nori's Lunchbox.
Yeah?
That's my favorite spot to go. She got, like, this seafood type of thing over rice, and it's like this sauce on it that's like so good. I think it's called like sweet chili sauce, and then it's like a garlic heat. Like I get like two sauces on it, so that's like one of my favorite places to go. And like every time I post it, everybody always asks me where I get it from.
That's
like
the spot. That. Shout out to Nori's. But so speaking of food and speaking of 126, you want to stay at 126? You want to move to 130? What? Because there's been talk.
Yeah.
You know, do you find it? Are you still able to make the 126?
If I get a nutritionist, I could possibly, you know, make 126 again.
Okay.
But I don't know. We just got to wait and see.
I mean, there's so many good fights out there for you, bro.
It is. It's 126 is a stacked division. And
so many fighters.
Yeah, it is. And it's a division that I looked at and, you know, wanted to stay at because there's so many names there and it's not that many. It's not big names there. So I feel like if we all stayed and fought each other, it could be like that division, like how the 135 was. So,
Cordina.
Yeah.
Warrington.
No, they at 130 now.
No, I know, but around that.
Oh, yeah.
But like in that vicinity, I mean, just UK fighters, Lee Wood, Warrington, and Cordina, just there, that's just UK.
Yeah.
But Ray Vargas, obviously Nick Ball. Mm-hmm. But did you watch that fight?
Did you?
What did you think of that fight? Who you thought won that fight?
I was kind of like, in and out of the fight, because I think I was probably doing something on my phone and things like that. But I didn't really watch it to judge it. But from what I seen, it was a good fight. I think Vargas controlled the first half of the fight, and then Nick Ball started to pick up later on in the fight, and he had bigger rounds and bigger moments. So it was a great fight.
It was a great fight. What do you think? I mean, Ball is just, man, he comes, right?
He like a featherweight Mike Tyson.
Yo, he don't stop.
Yeah.
He don't stop, man. That was it was an exciting fight.
Yeah, I like his attitude. I like his mentality.
Yeah.
So
also Lopez, Luis Alberto Lopez.
Yeah.
He's another potential opponent.
Yeah, I actually, me and him sat down in the sauna together for my last fight. We was making weight together, and he was, I had a translator. He was asking me questions. We was, you know, going back and forth with the translator and things like that. He cool dude, but I'll let him make that fight happen too. That's another big
He's a slick fighter.
He is in his own way.
But yeah. But you think you can...
Yeah, of course.
See, this is what I love. Raised it. You want all the smoke.
Yeah, for sure. I don't mind fighting. That's what I've been growing up doing. So.
Yeah.
And in the streets, I've been fighting guys bigger. So, like, me fighting people my size is not really a problem for me.
So, like, another thing I think a lot of people don't know about you is that you are a student of the game.
Yeah.
You like to watch a lot of old fights.
I do.
Who are some of the fighters that you love to watch and that you might want to emulate or?
I like Mark Two Sharp Johnson.
DC.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
I love Mark Two Sharp Johnson.
He's very, very, very sharp.
Oh, yeah.
He just don't get that credit because, you know, he was in a smaller weight class.
He was in a lighter weight class, yeah. And it was a while ago. It didn't, those lighter weights weren't as popular back then.
Yeah.
But Mark Two Sharp Johnson was great.
Yeah, he was.
Washington, D.C., man.
I feel like he slept on.
That's my guy. Great fighter.
He's probably like one of my favorite southpaws. I like him over Pernell Whitaker. I like Pernell Whitaker too, though.
Okay, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Sweet Pea is.
Yeah, he's the guy for the southpaws.
Legend.
Yeah, so I like Pernell, though. I like Roy Jones, Sugar Ray Leonard. I like to watch Ali. It's a few other guys that I like to watch.
You also love Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, he's my favorite. I mean, but you said a little older. I feel like Floyd
sure.
is kind
of
like
he's more era. Current era. Yeah, yeah, of course. What are some of your favorite Floyd fights?
Vittorio Gotti, Deo Corrales. Right now I'm watching him versus Jesus Chavez, I think his name is.
Hmm. The Gatti fight, man, that was a tough one to watch.
Yeah.
That was a tough one to watch. Yeah. I love both guys.
Yeah.
I was friends with Arturo.
Yeah.
And Arturo got the heart of a champ and all that, but he didn't have skills on that same level.
Yeah, he couldn't compete at that
and
time.
It was tough to watch, yeah. Man. I didn't enjoy that fight. they build that as Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah.
I remember that, Thunder and Lightning.
Because his nickname. Yeah, it was a good build-up, but... I don't know. I just felt like Floyd was firing on all cylinders.
Of course.
Fight. He was feeling it. And you get nights like that where you just feeling it and everything is just clicking. And that was just the night for him. And
So just again, I just want to go back to the Komatov fight just for another second. Like, you know, because again, to me, there's a lot of really good fighters out there.
Yeah.
But to be a great fighter, and those guys that you all just mentioned, they make adjustments. You got to be able to make adjustments.
Yeah.
And, you're with a great manager now, Brian Peters.
Yes.
And he has a lot of other great fighters, Katie Taylor, one of them. And one of the things I love about Katie so much is she makes adjustments.
Yeah.
And seeing you do that, it just, it just raises the level on it.
Adjusting is a part of the sport. If you can't adjust at this top level, you're going to, you know, fall behind. So, like I said, I watch a lot of boxing. I watched the greats, Floyd Mayweather. He's probably one of the best adjusters in the sport of boxing in history. I watched Terence Crawford. He's another great adjuster.
100%.
Yeah. So I watch a lot of boxing. I study the game. So that's where it comes from.
But so let's say you're in a fight. You do you come in with different game plans? Like, do you come in with, okay, obviously we're gonna try it this way. If you can't get in the front door, we're going to go through the side door or the back door. Like, do you have, or is it just kind of on the fly? You're in there and you, does your corner help you? How does that happen? Do you know yourself when you're in there doing, like, hey, man, like you said with Komatov, you were missing, he was making you miss a lot.
Yeah.
So that's when you were like, you know, let me stay in the pocket and let me exchange with this guy. And then you realize, like, I can hurt him.
Yeah. It depends on the situation. Depends on the fighter. It depends on me at the moment. Sometimes I might not see the adjustment and my team might see it. They might have to tell me. Or sometimes I might just, a lot of times I see it off the bat because, like I say, I study a lot of boxing. I got experience. I don't have a lot of fights, but I got like real good experience inside the gym. So it really depends on the situation, but yeah, adjusting is just a part of the game.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. So being from Camden, there's a statue there.
Yeah.
Jersey Joe Walcott.
Yeah.
How does that one day, you know, obviously Jersey Joe Walcott's a legend, you know, former heavyweight champion. And not only that, he was a referee and and the commissioner. I think his last assignment was the Muhammad Ali, the Muhammad Ali fight with the Phantom Punch. Mm. And I think that was his last assignment.
Yeah.
I think it was. But one day, maybe what do you think?
Yeah,
Raymond Forrest statue up there. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure, most definitely. But I want a statue there, like while I'm still here, so I can see it and you know take a picture next to it, and take my kids there to you know experience the moment with me. I don't want to you know be gone and they gotta put it up and I'm not here to enjoy it.
To enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. So
absolutely.
I definitely want a statue up in my city.
So we talked about your mom, how proud, but now you are a father. So what's that like?
It's great. It's like no other feeling. You got somebody that depends on you every day and looking at you to lead and you know when I'm gonna eat and you know things like that. It's a great feeling. I feel like somebody depending on me and relying on me is like a great feeling for me. I don't know why it just is, but.
You love it.
I love it. Yeah, it's.
And you then, brought it to the fight.
Yeah, I bring it to all my fights.
A lot of people won't bring the kids to the fight. You bring your daughter to the fight.
I mean, they probably don't bring their kids because they scared they might lose and things like that. But I don't think of losing when I'm
of course
getting ready for a fight.
Of course.
I bring my daughter, you know, so she can experience every moment. So when she get older, she have her kids, she can tell her children how her father was a fighter and, you know, tell her side of the story of the experience of being a professional world champion daughter.
Right.
So, yeah.
How would you feel if she wanted to box?
I wouldn't want her to box at all. I wouldn't want her to box. But I would teach her, you know, to defend herself.
Of course, and
things like that.
Of course.
I always bring it to the gym. So it's nothing. Even at the house, she always picking up my gloves and swinging on me and stuff like that. So
yeah.
She making a little noise like ish ish. Like that. So it's fun. Like having kids, it's fun. It's a fun experience. You know, every day you experiencing something new with them.
That's great. And your mom must love spending time with her also.
She's actually with my mom right now.
That's great.
My mom took her skiing for the first time.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, man, that's great. We do something we call fan questions. Are you okay to answer some fan questions?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let me see what we got here. Okay, here we go. Josh Baines asks, I know you boxed him in the amateurs. How good is Mark Castro? Who fights for his he fights for his first title this Saturday?
Yeah. Mark Castro is a great pressure fighter. A lot of will, a lot of energy. He comes in shape. He's a great fighter. He beat me, like you say, he beat me in the amateurs, even though it's a different,
it's different.
System and things like that. He still beat me. He's beat a lot of great professional fighters that's boxing now. And I think he got a high ceiling.
It's great. He's got a title fight tomorrow night. So excited to see.
Yeah.
From Fresno.
Yeah.
Yeah. He headlined the show out there. That was cool. So.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I remember that.
Well, actually, I don't know. He didn't headline because you know who was on that card? He didn't headline it. That was Mikey Garcia. That was the night Mikey Garcia lost to...
Well, he was co-main.
Yeah, he was co-main. Yeah. Okay. Second question. Deshaun Tua asks, you mentioned shortly after the last fight about moving up. We all know what's in the pipeline. Does the quick turnaround help? I guess you were pretty much back to the gym straight away.
What's the
question? I don't really know.
I'm saying like what he's saying. We all know what's the pipeline. Like what is he?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, there could be a lot. I mean, they were talking about you fighting on the 5v5 card, but maybe I don't know if you. It's not. Might not be in the cards. What do you think?
If it makes sense.
If it makes sense.
If it makes sense.
If it makes dollars, it makes sense.
Exactly.
That's
so
what's
we
up.
See.
Prize fighter, fight for the biggest prize out there. I like it. Okay. At Nixie40 asks, being a southpaw, are you a natural lefty?
I am.
You are?
I write with my left hand, but I'm weird though. Like, I do everything else with my right hand. Like, I throw football with my right hand. I shoot
really?
Basketball with my right
Interesting.
Hand. Yeah, but I write with my left hand.
Are you nice on the court?
Of course.
What?
I actually got a
Let me find out.
I actually got an episode on my YouTube page from when I was in training camp playing basketball with Shakur and, you know, other people there.
Manny plays too.
Manny, Pacquiao.
Yeah. Uncle Drew over here. All right, let's see. Carlito B asks, the only other fighter I can think of coming out of Camden in recent years is Jason Sosa. Yeah. Do you know him? Have you sparred?
Yeah, that's my guy.
El Canito.
He was in my gym. We was training in the same gym. He's very humble. A good friend of mine. We sparred multiple times too. Yeah.
Former WBA super featherweight champ. Yep. Man, he fought a lot of great guys.
Yeah, and Loma. He's another one who fought anybody. So that just
look at his resume, man. Yeah, Fortuna. Exactly.
That just goes to show
Loma.
You what Camden produced.
Gamboa, he fought Gamboa.
And that he really beat Gamboa too.
Yeah. Yep. Man. Yeah, but also like, I don't know, Camden, I mean, you got Jersey Joe, yeah. Canito, you got Kawi, Dwight Muhammad Kawi. And now you got Raymond Savage Ford,
yeah.
WBA featherweight champion of the world, undefeated. And man, it's what it is. And hopefully maybe go on and unify or maybe another division, we'll see.
Yeah.
But you know, you're 25 now, you're hitting on all cylinders. You feel like you got your man strength?
Yeah.
Or you feel like you're getting stronger?
I definitely feel like I'm getting stronger. Like if you look at me from my pro debut to now, it's just like a major difference.
Total difference. But again, you always had skills, but now yeah. I feel like you have different aspects to your game. That's why I love the work that you've done with the guys in Cherry Hill because it just feels like you just changed, man. You were always talented, but there was like a little spark that was kind of missing or just the whole game wasn't completely filled out and now it's rounding out and you're becoming a very dangerous fighter because you have a lot of facets to your game. Like he was talking about guys like Sugar Ray Leonard. He's my favorite fighter of all time, but he's a guy that could box, he could slug, he could stay in the pocket, he could get you from the outside, pinpoint accuracy, speed, that's power.
That's kind of what I'm shooting for, like you know, being able to do all those things.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. But listen, we have a great card tomorrow night. Ladies and gentlemen, so please tune in. Richardson Hitchens, it's an IBF junior welterweight world title eliminator against the tough Argentinian Lemos. Both guys undefeated, also Diego Pacheco. Tons of guys on the card. But I just want to thank the undefeated WBA featherweight champion of the world, Raymond Savage Ford. Raymond, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
You got it, brother. All right. Thank you.